Welcome to Conversations for Financial Professionals, a podcast to help shape the next generation of financial advice. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and today we have Andy Andrews, one of those individuals that will immediately go into your list of favorites. He is an author of many bestsellers, and today we were able to break into the power of your perspective. How do you gain perspective? What are some of the things that are tangible steps that allow you to see things from different angles to maybe pull you out of a spot that you are currently in that you don't like? And I get some time to unpack several brain food quotes made famous by Mr. Andrews. This is definitely a podcast episode you don't want to miss. We get into so many things, and I know you're going to leave today empowered to become that financial professional to serve your client at the next level. Let's get to the conversation. Welcome to another episode of the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today we have Mr. Andy Andrews, a personal favorite of mine. Andy, you are the author of more than 25 books that have been translated into more than 40 languages, tons of New York Times bestsellers, including one of my favorite, The Traveler's Gift, which was named one of the 5 books you must read in your lifetime by ABC's Good Morning America. You've been a consultant to Fortune 500 companies, and like I said, one of my favorite authors. I think you are one of the foremost authorities on mindset and just a sage when it comes to the topic of discussing perspective. So welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Buddy, thank you. It's just an honor to be here with you, Dominique. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, this is great. This power of perspective subject. I know that you are, if I want to talk to anybody, if I had my wish list, you would be the person that I want to delve into this subject with. But before we get started, let me ask you, are you excited to see a new year? What do you do anything special when, you know, the calendar turns? Like what at this stage in your career, what do you do? Anything you know, special?
Dude, right now I am not as excited to see the new year as I am glad to be out of the old one. I mean, I'm like, if 2020 was a hula hoop, it had been made out of barbed wire. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And so I'm glad to be doing anything different. And so, yeah, I make plans. And I grab hold of what my responsibilities are going to be for the year. You know, I decided a number of years ago, I didn't know why that I kind of veered away from goals. I just, you know, and I didn't want to say anything because everybody, you know, that seems to be just like peanut butter, you know, it's like everybody. But something about it bothered me. And so I began to really kind of go to the bottom of the pool on that subject and go to the foundation of that subject. And I you know, it's a longer discussion, but I found some things that I feel like, you know, do we want something that has a better chance of working or a lesser chance of working? Do we want something that works some of the time or something that works all the time? And so if I made 2 statements to you, like, you know, if my goal this year was 40 of whatever, right? You know, if I said to you, you know, with my company this year, I have a goal of 40. Now, if I said to you, with my company this year, I have a responsibility to produce 40. Which one of those carries more weight? Right. I mean, people, you know, goals have gotten to be kind of a thing. And I don't know if it's just because it's so common, but they've gotten to be a thing. This like people like, it don't matter if you miss your goal. You just set a goal. At least you're farther along. You know, at least you're farther along. And so really, OK, well, if you know, if you'd spent most of your life driving, you know, several different ways to a particular destination. And then all of a sudden, the Department of Transportation experts declared that there was one particular detour and this was the best way. So you became one of thousands of people in your city that decided to take that route. But the problem was that so many people kept wrecking along the way. I mean, they're just wrecked constantly. But the Department of Transportation said, well, you know, we've kept track of your wrecks, and you are wrecking farther along the way every time. So you're getting closer to your destination. Would that make sense to you? Right. So I think that responsibility is the, and, you know, as we were talking before, it is a nomenclature change, but words matter.
Yes.
Words matter. They matter. It matters what you say to yourself. And it matters what you say to other people.
No, I love that. I think those are, you know, when
Speaking of a detour, boy, I took one there.
No, I love it, because I think this kind of segues right into one of my first questions I have for you is about looking at things from multiple different angles, right? So I don't know that this is just, common to only, or let's just say exclusive to financial professionals. It should be for everybody. But with financial professionals, you know, you're working with somebody and it's always like, how's my investments doing? How are my investments doing? Which that's one aspect, right? I'd love for you to kind of take a little time with the power of looking at things from multiple angles, because a lot of my audience is going to be people that are kind of on the outside looking in to see whether or not this career is going to be for them. What are some of the things, maybe from your personal playbook or your personal experiences, that allowed you to start looking at things from multiple angles?
One of the first things, Dominique, that really made a difference to me to be able to, you know, step aside and look at it differently is to understand what perspective actually is. Because most people, if you ask them, you know, tell me what perspective is, they would say, oh, you know, it's how you see something. It's whether you see the glass half full or half empty. It's how you see something. And you go, oh, okay, all right, that's good. But in reality, and that's the definition most people hang on. But in reality, it is much more than that. Okay, it's not how you see things; it's how you choose to see things. Because see, your perspective is yours. It's yours. You own it. Nobody can take it from you. It is yours. And the glass half full or half empty, the glass is what it is. Whatever level it is, that's the level. You're the one who chooses whether you see it as half empty or half full. Now, the reason this matters is because the perspective you choose about any situation sends you down one road or another. Okay, so, you know, we all know that we don't really want to hire glass half empty people. You know, we don't really want to follow glass half empty people. You know, we want to hire glass half full people. We want to promote glass half full people. We want to follow glass half full people. We want our children to grow up to be glass half full people. And so, you know, you can look at a situation, whatever that situation is, and, you know, you can say, your perspective can be, this is the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. Okay, so if that is your perspective, then you are much more likely to sit down, think about it, get depressed, do nothing, and you will have been right. Your perspective will have been right on target. It was. It really was the worst thing that could have happened to you, because now look what everything's happening. Now, I mean, it's just been downhill from that moment. Or you could look at this and say, okay, I don't know where I'm going from here, but everything changes, and change is part of it. And even the greatest things happened in my life because something changed that I wouldn't have chosen. And so I think this is going to be the best thing that could have ever happened in my life. And now if you really do think that, it allows you to sit up, smile, go out, interact, Spend what extra time you might have reading, praying, helping somebody, doing something, getting some different knowledge and information. And then you can look back and go, wow. I mean, how many times have people said, man, if that hadn't happened, we'd never be here. And we thought that was the worst thing, you know, there for a little bit. And then we said, no, come on now. We got to. And so over and over again, you know, while I live on the coast, and when hurricanes come in here, there are some people who think this is the worst thing that could have ever happened.
I think,
well, not for everybody, because, you know, roofers, they make more money in a couple of years than they most roofers make in a lifetime. Right? No, Home Depot does pretty good.
I mean, the lighter side of things is one thing. And then the mindset, and I want to play devil's advocate for just a second, because when you were talking, it made me think of something. Because when I started reading your stuff, I was going through, my family was going through, matter of fact, I was in a stint of unemployment. And I was like, man, this is never going to end. I remember a mentor saying to me, he's like, dude, do you really think that, I mean, I was like early 30s. He's like, do you really think you're never going to work again in your early 30s? And when he said that, I was like, actually, that makes a lot of sense. And then not too long after that, I found your stuff. And I remember something about Jones in The Noticer. I'm going to quote real quick. So it's like, okay, I've been given a gift of noticing things that others miss. Maybe you can talk about some of the tangible steps or strategies on how you develop this, because some people are going to say, and here's the devil's advocate part, well, that's just positive thinking, Andy and Dominique. That's not, like, that doesn't change anything. Can you actually train yourself to notice things and take different perspectives?
Yes. And I am not a motivational speaker person. That's not me. That's not what I do. I actively flag against it. If you look at andyandrews.com, you will never see the word motivational anywhere on it. Now, some people call me that occasionally because they don't know how else to term what I do. But motivation is encouragement. It has a statute of limitations. You know, we all know I could fire you up, you could fire me up, but that's going to last until the first crazy thing happens in our life. But here's what does matter. What matters is proof. Mm. Proof lasts. And so, and I'm not talking about like a mathematical proof. I'm talking about proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That kind of proof where you hear something you hadn't thought of or hadn't heard and you go, huh, well, that makes total sense. I never thought of it that way. And so what I want to do here with your question is I want to give proof beyond a reasonable doubt here. Now, part of that proof beyond a reasonable doubt came with what we're talking about, the glass half empty, glass half full. I mean, I didn't just say you can choose to see it either way. I gave you an example of where a person's life goes when they are thinking that way, all right? I'll give you a real life example. Down here on the Gulf Coast, I think it was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I mean, you'll remember with this happening, but we had an oil spill. You know, the big oil rig blew up.
BP, yeah.
And so there were people around here that literally just left their keys in their businesses and just left. I mean, they just left because, you know, the news was saying this would be generations before it was changed. This would be generations that nothing would ever be the same again. Now, forget for a minute that it was all cleaned up in less than a year. And, you know, forget that and forget that we can see diary entries in Hernando de Soto's men down when they were on the coast of Texas saying there are these black balls of pitch that float up that are excellent for the cracks in our boats. You know, the earth has been leaking oil for centuries. OK, so forget that for a minute. let's just talk about the way people were looking at that at the time and what they did and what the way they I said, so we're a fishing community. This is a sport fishing community. There's a lot of charter boat captains here. And these guys have the big boats that they run out for red snapper out 20, 30 miles out. And they take charter boats full of tourists, of people. And it's, you know, it's a lot of money to go. And they use a lot of gas. And they, these boats cost a lot. And so they're all paying notes on their boats like most people do on their house, right? And so this is their business. And when that happened, it shut everything down. Well, the banks didn't say, okay, you don't have to pay for your boat. And so these guys were in a world of hurt. And all of a sudden, you know, with everybody saying this is the worst thing that could possibly happen, is worst thing. There, my boys went to school with some kids, and that that dad was a charter boat captain, and he went in his boat one morning and shot himself and killed himself, and which is a permanent solution to what was a temporary problem.
Yeah.
And so this shook this community up in such a huge way. And I had said, I didn't say this in response to this, but I had always said, in time of crisis, you're not lacking money. You're not lacking time. You're not lacking leadership. You're only lacking an idea. One idea. We've seen one idea make millions of dollars. We've seen one idea make save millions of lives. And one idea will get you from where you are to where you want to be. One idea. It's just a thinking thing. And so, the idea of the thinking, you know, you don't look at your industry. You don't look at what everybody does, because the results, the data's in on that. Okay. So you begin to look in other areas, and you look in terms of value. How can I be valuable? How can what I know be valuable to other people? How can I create value for other people? And you look in other ways. And so there were a bunch of charter boat guys, one of them a really good friend of mine, that they said, you know, people are coming down here like crazy because they want to see this oil spill, and the National Guard's not letting them on the beach. And so why don't we charge people like $20 and we'll just ride them around? And so they started loading people on their boats, and they get on the little microphone and go, if you'll look to your left, you'll see some oil. Over on the right bank, there is oil. Up ahead, we'll be coming to some oil. And, you know, they're riding around for an hour for $20, come back, pick up another load of people, ride around. And they were making more money than they made fishing without the fuel cost, without going out and getting beat up in the waves. And when the oil spill was cleaned up, they were like, oh man, the oil's gone, you know? And so they're like, I guess we got to go back to fishing. But my buddy Chris said, no. Don't you know, we have seen so many dolphins when, you know, these dolphins are inshore all the time. You can find them really easily in a boat. And so they started dolphin tours. And that's how that started down here. Wow. These dolphin tours. And so Chris would send his 12-year-old boy in a skiff out in the morning. Chris would advertise dolphin tours and say, you know, $20. And if you don't see a dolphin, you don't have to pay. And he would send his 12-year-old out in a little skiff in the morning with a walkie-talkie. And the little boy would go, Dad, I found the dolphins are down around Bear Point. And he's like, all right, be right there. It's like, take them down there. There you go. And so Chris always got paid. But it was an idea, just thinking.
Attention career changers and aspiring financial professionals. If you're serious about entering the financial services industry but confused about what path is right for you, then you might be a perfect candidate for the Jumpstart Accelerator Group. I've created a pathway to reduce the amount of friction and frustration as you map out your journey to become a financial professional. In the Jumpstart Accelerator group, you'll get access to a private Facebook community with some groundbreaking trainings and great discussion with your peers, one-on-one mentorship from a hand-picked Jumpstart ambassador to help you with your journey, and a special invitation to join my 12-week program called How to Find Your Place in the Financial Services Industry. I'm serious about fulfilling my mission of making sure that everyone has access to good financial advice. And that's why I'm taking my 20-plus years in the financial services industry and sharing it with you, the next generation financial professional. The Jumpstart Accelerator Group launches March 2021, and I want you to be part of it. To learn more, just send me a quick email with Jumpstart Accelerator in the subject line to hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com or click the programs and services link at jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Now, let's get back to our conversation. I mean, you unpacked so many nuggets of wisdom in that story. I mean, it's just... I'm thinking specifically the fact that, you know, I have financial advisor friends, financial professionals that like, oh, you know, COVID, man, I can't get out to see clients. I can't do this and I can't do that. And it's just the matter of the way that you look at it to see if you're going to make lemonade out of lemons or are you going to sit there on your hands and complain and moan. So then that was beautiful. I love that. I want to take the balance of our time together for you to take some of the quotes that I've heard you say. You may or may not remember this, but in 2014, I took my cousin. We drove up to Oklahoma, which is about a 3-hour drive, Oklahoma City. And you spoke at a leadership summit. I think it was like Crossroads Church or something. It was John Acuff. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There
so I have, yeah, okay. I have a ton. Well, not a ton. I have a handful of like sound bites that I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I want you to kind of maybe just expound on those just a little bit, somewhat of a lightning round, if you will. Okay. So
yeah. Okay.
You said, and I think you alluded to this, but maybe if you want to unpack it a little bit more, you said proof is better than encouragement because you never have to wonder again. And I think about this in the light of what I just said about COVID and how people feel this thing about the imposter syndrome. I'm not there yet, so I can't give people advice. I can't charge people for that expertise, but maybe kind of expand on that, that whole notion around proof is better than encouragement.
Yeah, proof is better than encouragement because proof has to be aligned with truth. It has to be because, and it has to make sense. Okay, because we're talking about not a mathematical proof. You can't mathematically prove things around us, you know, or situations or actions. And so we're talking about a proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And so that's that kind of proof where people go, wow, well, that makes total sense. I never thought of it that way. And so that kind of proof has to be aligned with truth, and it has to stay aligned with truth because at any point that somebody begins to get information that proves this wrong or that it tends to make them say, well, no, wait a minute. Well, then it's no longer proof. So it must be aligned with truth. And if you can align that truth with proof, then there you go. And I hear you about the imposter syndrome, but, you know, we've all had, I mean, when we think back, you know, my favorite teacher that I ever had was in the eighth grade. Her name was Mrs. McLeod. Matt, can you get the key to the cabinet and grab me Miss McLeod's picture out of that? I got to show you Miss McLeod. She was just my favorite. She's my favorite teacher in the world. And so I remember she was the first person who told me I could write. She was the first person that told me I was funny. You know, one time I made some crack in the class and everybody laughed and she said, out of my room. I was like, ma'am? She said, get out of my room. And I was horrified because I loved her, you know, and she followed me out in the hallway and she turned around. And she said, okay, you're funny. All right. You kill me. You just kill me. But you got to let me have the class sometimes. Okay. And so you are funny, but you need to have timing. You need to pick your moments so it'll be funnier, and you can write funny too. So you're a writer. And so I always remember her. Well, then, I just loved her. She was the first person to tell me that. Well, then years later, I'm like 50 years old. And I go to that city and I'm speaking at something. And they ask, is anybody you want to see? I say, yeah, I want to see Ms. McCloy. But they brought her in and I was expecting some creaky old lady, Well, she was like about my age. I realized, wow, when I was in the eighth grade, she was in her first year of teaching. And so she was just like trying to stay a chapter ahead of us.
Wow.
And she could have said, no, I'm not worthy. I don't know enough to teach this yet. I don't know. But she was the best kind of teacher. Here's Ms. McLeod. She was the very best kind of teacher.
That's great. That's great. And I love that for imposter syndrome. I was just telling my group, you've got to do things afraid. Don't let this year be a year where you miss opportunities because you're afraid. Do it afraid. Most people that you see that are successful do things afraid all the time. And that story sounds like a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing something in the face of fear. I mean, you show me a fighter pilot who's actually been in battle that says he was never scared. I'll show you somebody who shouldn't be flying a plane because they're crazy.
This is a good point. This is a good point. Okay, let me do this one. So average people compare themselves to other people, but extraordinary performers compare themselves to their potential.
Yeah, that is... that I have found that to be true over and over and over again. Average people compare themselves to other people. And when you think about it, that's why they end up being average, because they go, am I doing good? Am I doing good? Am I not doing good? And if everybody else is kind of there, okay, if they're a little behind, they'll speed up. But if they're a little ahead, hey, they relax. I'm going to take a weekend off, Now, a perfect example of somebody who compares themselves to their potential. I've worked with Nick Saban a bunch, and I say a bunch, I have a great relationship with Nick. We don't see each other often, but he's an awesome guy. His wife is better than he is, which is what we should all be able to say about our wives. But Nick, one time I was watching a game and I was with a bunch of friends who were fans of the other team. Well, one of the first things I said to Nick when we got together is I said, I want to help you compete in ways your competition doesn't know a game is going on. And that's what I do with businesses. I help them compete in ways the competition doesn't know a game is going on. And Nick was a perfect person to work with because he compares himself with his potential. So I'm watching this game and it's 2 minutes to go. He's ahead. It's a national championship game. He's ahead 21-0. And 2 minutes to go, national championship game, and one guy had a false start. And so it was a 5-yard penalty, stopped the game. And they showed Nick on the sidelines, and he was just like, yeah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was just going nuts. And so somebody in the room that I was in said, okay, Nick, calm down. You're going to win the game. You've already got it won. You don't have to act like that. Just calm down. And being real kind of condescending. Well, I didn't say anything, but I knew what was happening, because one of the things that we had worked on in competing in a way the competition didn't know a game is going on is the kind of people we were going to be, so that the officials would have a more positive view of us than a less positive view. And so we were going to do things and act in certain ways because, officials, I've worked with SEC officials and Sun Belt officials, and they can call holding on any play they want to call it on. They can call it anywhere, okay? And so what the person in the room did not know is that they were about to go through an entire national championship game without a single penalty. And it was 2 minutes ago. Now, in reality, Nick was fine with that because it wasn't perfect. And he was able to, you know. And so comparing yourself with your potential is tough sometimes, because every time you get close to it, it gets farther out. Mm. And so you have to regroup. You have to regroup. You're always looking for the best, you know. And I remember the first conversation I ever had with Coach Saban. I've asked a lot of people, you know, what are you looking to do? And you wouldn't believe how many coaches, Dominique, you wouldn't believe how many coaches have said, you know, I want to have us in contention for the division title every year. And I'm like, I want to walk out, because I want to go, dude, you can be in contention for the division title every year and be fired in 4 years. You know, you better think a little bit bigger than this. And when I asked Nick that, he said, I want to win 5 national championships in a row with one team.
Wow.
Now, he hadn't done it yet, but, you know, right now he's on track to pass Bear Bryant, the most national championships ever.
No, I think that's really powerful. I think that segues this last quote I want you to opine on, which is the principle of the path. It is direction that determines destination, not intention, right? Man. The intention may be, I want to be in contention so that I can win a championship. But if your direction is not like, hey, I want to win this thing, it's, you know, like in NFL, we go, it's Super Bowl or bust every year. Right. If you don't have that in your mind, it reminds me of a book before you opine on it. It reminds me of a book. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And he talks about how the brain is basically a turn-by-turn GPS. If you don't give it instructions, you don't know where to go. And so
that's so good.
I think the Nick Saban attitude, as opposed to his peers, are, hey, I got this particular direction. It's very specific. And this is the only way I'm going to achieve this goal is if I put that in there. Now, granted, I may, you know, have a flat tire, or I may have whatever, but I'm going for broke.
Right. And he has ingrained that in that culture, you know, and that culture has also leaked into the fan base and alumni. It's amazing, you know, what the expectations are here. So, but the idea, this is the one that you just laid out. What? Tell me again.
The turn by turn GPS.
No,
or the path.
Yeah, the principle of the path.
The principle of the path. It is the direction that determines destination, not intention.
Not intention. You know, I had a PBS special years ago, and there was another guy that had a PBS special at the same time, and he was a lot more famous, and it just, like, you know, it slaughtered my ratings all the time, you know, and which that didn't bother me. The thing that bothered me was I had already gotten into this thinking deeper, you know, idea, this idea of thinking to the bottom of the pool. You know, that I have a book called The Bottom of the Pool, and it's a book that Forbes called one of the 7 books every entrepreneur should read. And it's a very, very different business book. But I had gotten into this thinking to the bottom of the pool thing. And so the title of this guy's PBS special really bugged me. And the title was The Power of Intention. And I mean, I'm like, and I still believe there is no power in intention. There there is no power. I mean, are you serious? Because I mean, if I came to you and I said, Dominique, I cannot believe the way my wife is treating me. And the way she talked to me last night after I intended to bring her flowers, and the way she's treating me lately after everything I have intended to do for this woman, you would go, are you out of your mind? Are you kidding me? You didn't do anything. You just intended to. And you think, what are you thinking? But that's the way people live their lives. And so it's not intention. It's direction. The principle of path says it's not intention that will determine where you go. It is direction. And that's why there is a horrible question that people ask, and there is a great question that people can ask. And the horrible question was, is this all right? You know, is this okay? Is it all right? You know, and because that, see, as functioning adults in the world, we know where the line is. In just about every situation, we know where the line is and where you cross into real trouble. We know where that line is. Okay, so if we know where that line is, why would we snuggle up so closely to the line? Right? I mean, if you know where the edge of the cliff is, you're going to walk the edge? Okay, but people allow themselves to get closer and closer to it by going, well, you know, is this okay? And they tell themselves, yeah, this is okay. And then they move a little closer to the line. They go, well, what about this? Okay. Well, it's technically okay. You know, and then you get a little closer. Oh, what about this? Is this okay? Yeah, technically, it's probably better to ask forgiveness than ask permission. And so, you know, and then before they know it, they're having to think about how far over the line can I operate before I start seeing some consequences. Mm. And then it's disastrous, okay? But the great question people can ask that reveals the principle of the path is this a wise thing to do? Mm-hmm. Because is this a wise thing to do reveals direction. I mean, you know, we look sometimes at situations where we go, well, you could have seen that coming down the pathway, right? And a lot of things we do, you know, people say that success is slow, and that is true, but they forget that failure is slow too. I mean, when that jail door clangs shut, that all didn't start that day.
Yeah.
That was a long time coming. Process. And so is this a wise thing to do? Is a great thing to live by? It's a great thing to teach your children. Is this a wise thing to do? Because it reveals the pathway that you're on.
No, I think that statement right there could be, you know, the sum of just about all the SEC's violations for any financial professionals that we've ever seen. If they would have asked that question first, that we probably wouldn't have the amount of fraud. Well, to bring this thing for a landing, as you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professionals with tools to serve their ideal client in a much deeper level, much better level. In that context, Andy, what word or words of wisdom would you have for the next generation of financial advisors?
I would say number one, to think clearly to the bottom of the pool where you will find, think clearly to the truth. There are things that can be true and yet not be the truth. Mm. And so there are, you know, one of the biggest minefields you will ever traverse in your life is the minefield of true, because people stop when they get an answer that is true, because it's an answer and it produces some results. But, you know, there's a book called Good to Great, and it's a great book. Okay, it's a great book. Millions of people have done very well by following this book. But I would challenge anybody to say, look, there is a difference in great and best. And so let everybody else go good to great. I think you need to go good to great to best. Mm. Don't stop at great, but people stop at what is true, where they can drill down deeper into the truth and they can get answers that will solve problems, that will heal, that will add. I mean, the truth is like the foundation. That's the bottom. That's as far down as you can go. And you'll know when you get there because you can't ask why anymore. Now, you see this on TV news all the time. These guys arguing and somebody will say, well, why is that? You know, and then somebody will say, well, it's because there are no more fathers in the homes. And everybody will go, well, that's right. That's right. Yep. And then they move on to another topic. Okay, well, that's true. But okay, so but why? Okay, well, this and this and this and this and this. Yeah, that's true. Okay, but why is that? Why is this and this and this? Well, because of that and that and that and that. Okay, why? See, you can go to the bottom of the pool and you can find the answers you need in every situation, but don't be fooled by stopping at what is true.
Wow. That's great. Mr. Andy Andrews, thank you. This has been an honor, personal pleasure of my own to hear your wisdom and hear just the sage advice that you have on all these topics. Wishing you a very, very, very great, best 2020.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I'd love people to visit us, andyandrews.com. And, you know, we do some live things. I'm in Wisdom Harbor Studios here in Orange Beach. And I want to give you right now on the air while you'll feel compelled to answer me with a yes. I would love, probably not nearly as good as yours, but I do a podcast called The Professional Noticer. And I would love to have you as a guest on The Professional Noticer.
Absolutely. No question. That's right. A no-brainer.
I mean, I am serious. I feel very, very blessed to have gotten to know you just a little bit. And I can sense your heart, and your readers and listeners are your followers. They're very fortunate to have you, buddy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. But no, yeah, let's make it happen. I definitely would enjoy that.
All right, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now. Until our next conversation. Mm-hmm.